Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, January 19th, and we're back with you. Hi, Tori.
Hello. Good morning.
I am under the weather today, so I may be coughing a few times here. So you guys just bear with me because the other option is not to do a show at all, and that's not going to happen.
Poppycock. Folks. That's not happening.
No. We're here, and we're here to entertain, and that's what we can come up with.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a phone guest in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about relationships today.
I love it when we do this.
Yes. It's about being with emotionally unavailable people.
Right.
Have you met people like that before? Really?
Yeah. I think we all have. Come on. Yeah. But true. I always wonder who marries someone emotionally unavailable because... Really?
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't feel
right.
it.
Right. But you'd think you'd feel it in the courting
then,
process.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that people are attracted to emotionally unavailable people.
Right.
But I'm sure that's a pattern people have.
Right. And I wonder if that's like a challenge or something.
Yeah.
People,
like I can tame them. It's sort of, can I be honest?
Yeah.
It's sort of like Batman.
Yeah.
Like, you know how Bruce Wayne is emotionally unavailable, but he's still like, I'm going to try and go after him.
That's true, huh?
So it's like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know.
It's the Bruce Wayne of men. I can understand the attraction.
Yeah.
You think you can get in when no one else can.
Right. I know. It's like when someone is like that, you know, it's just like it's a one-way street, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like it doesn't really go anywhere.
And if I wonder what she'll say, but fundamentally, if they're like that, I feel in my past and history with all that, they aren't going to change.
Right.
They're not going to suddenly become open and discussions and communicate well. It's not going to go that way ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? I mean, that's
or
why we're reading
the
book, you
right,
know?
Right. Question mark.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
true,
that's the whole thing. Maybe it can be fixed.
True.
I don't know. But people do change, but they have to change for themselves, not
yes,
for someone else.
That's exactly here.
So this
which is so frustrating. Don't you wish you had a wand? I could change you. I could change you.
Exactly, right? Everybody be agreeable
yeah,
with me.
Right.
And the world would be a better place.
It'd be a boring place.
Yeah.
That's very true. Do you hear about Cal Exit?
Well, they've been talking about
it. Oh, yeah.
So what now? What's the
latest? Okay, so there's a new thing. So if you don't know, Cal Exit is a terrible pun on Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And California is really the homeland of this resistance to a lot of policies. California has just become more and more of a big blue state, and they're talking about really doing stuff to resist some bad policies. So the operation is called Operation Monkey Wrench.
Okay.
Okay, and this comes from a representative, and what it is whatever policies people don't agree with, they throw whatever they can to stop the legislation from going forward. So an actual monkey wrench.
I see.
So, and people, like at least several people in California's government aren't going to the inauguration. So California has become like the big resistance state.
It always has been.
Yeah, no? I know, it's true. But now it has another era coming for it.
I know. Well, maybe it is time for California to just be on its own.
That's what they say.
Yeah, and then I'll move away from here. but no, I mean, the thing is that California has always been a blue state.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's becoming
Right, but you know what? You also have to ask. I mean, you know, people can't accept reality. You know, I mean, the thing is, if you don't win, then you don't go along. You don't play the game, you know. So I don't know. Look, I mean, I understand the shock, you know, but I think we're all shocked. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen because this is like getting really... you get an administration of old white men again.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And... each one with their own baggage.
Yes. The idea of draining the swamp and then seeing they have six Goldman Sachs businessmen within the cabinet. And that's just a lot of them. You know what I mean? That's a lot of Goldman Sachs.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody goes with their friends and supporters.
Yeah, but he was like, I'm getting rid of
him. Not many people supported him, you know?
No. No, he definitely returns. He's very loyal. He returns the favor and really helps people that have supported him. Although, if you're Chris Christie, he really didn't give you anything. You looked ridiculous. You didn't get anything in return. And Giuliani, too.
That's true, huh?
Remember Giuliani, the vampire?
Giuliani thought he would get everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Oh, well, you know, politics. What are you going to say? It doesn't matter.
Poppycock.
Yeah, I know. So we'll see. Tomorrow's the inauguration. It's going to be an interesting one with protests. And
my parents live 3 miles from the White House.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Are they going
to
go?
Oh, yes. They've. We have friends coming in. I had tickets to go, and then I got a really big audition, so I can't go.
Oh.
But I'm so disappointed because I have a bunch of friends staying. My mom's making chili.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a big, big party.
Yeah, but that's surprising, though. You wouldn't boycott it or anything?
No, there's for the protest. They're
going, I see, for the
tomorrow,
protest.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
excuse me. For not thinking ahead.
Oh, no, we're not, like, joyous. But, you know, it should be. They say they have almost, they think 200,000 for the Women's March.
Yeah,
which
for
is,
the
which
March.
Is a lot.
Yeah, but it's not a million.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's not.
So they should
change
it.
No, it's not. I didn't change it. I just shortened it. Good catch there, Sam. Very proud of you.
Yeah.
It's a lot of women, and we're going to the Lincoln Memorial, which they tried to block, but we passed the petitions and signed enough. We're walking up to Lincoln.
Oh, wow. Who tried to block it, you know?
Trump? They said, yeah, they tried to put like tons of permits in place that you couldn't. It was like hundreds and hundreds. And of course, women, when they organize, honey,
forget about it.
Back it up.
Yeah.
Who run the world?
Well, that'll be interesting.
Girls.
Tomorrow's going to be very interesting.
Yes.
To be alive.
And also, there's a lot of pro-Trump people. So it's going to be interesting with security. I was watching today on Morning Joe. How do they keep them separated? How do they keep it safe? You know, peaceful, legal protest. But you just don't want. There's an enormous amount of security that's going into this.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's all cross our fingers.
Yeah, I mean, where did we get to where we have a president that nobody likes? What the hell?
Yeah, that's like such a good... That's
good. I think we're going to ask ourselves that for years.
Yeah,
you know?
I think reality pop culture took over.
Yeah.
I think it is. It became the peak of pop culture is when Donald Trump became president. That's what I always feel like. As a pop culture sort of historian, that's a peak of pop culture.
Yeah.
A reality show... contestant or star, excuse me, is the president. That's interesting.
Yeah, but he's done a lot of other things too.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
but he's like most famous for people that know his name for probably being rich businessman, but mostly and also the Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
Cry.
Well, he made it. What can I say?
Yeah, he chokes on himself.
Yeah, I told you there'd be a few coughs here.
Yeah,
but. He wastes too much time with personal conflicts.
Very much so.
Stuff,
yeah.
Know?
Someone made the Twitter account. You know, it's the icon. It's a bird with the little wings.
Uh-huh.
The Twitter. And when Trump's on it, the feathers go the other way, like Trump's hair. It's really good. It's a good meme, guys. Whoever did that, bravo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay. So let's see. Well, we've got rain here again. The rain. Came when we were sleeping, so I didn't get to enjoy it.
Yeah,
I never get to enjoy the rain. What is this? I love rain. I like playing in the rain.
Maybe rain doesn't like you.
Yeah,
you never
maybe.
Get to see it.
I just think that it's in California when it gets too warm and during the day it doesn't rain. It's only at night when
it's
really
a little
cold.
I'm always inside. I'm like, I run out. Did it rain? And then it's like beautiful and glimmering, and
exactly,
I missed it.
Yeah. But we're expecting major rains tomorrow and then Sunday and Monday, so that should be pretty good. You know, we'll probably have some floods.
Yeah.
But I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
I never get it. When I go down the canyon in Laurel Canyon, if you guys don't know, it's a winding trail through like really steep hillsides made out of mud. And every time it rains, even just a little, like houses fall down. I'm like, then why are you building it on the hill?
Right.
Made of mud.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of money.
But
they do stupid things.
It's so weird.
Know?
I don't know. That makes sense.
Yeah, I know. But it makes sense because they want to impress people with a house like that.
Yeah, that's not.
But
that's just.
I mean, with earthquakes and everything,
good
mudslides, why would you do that? Ask myself sometimes too.
Yeah.
But hey, they get some nice views. Let me.
I know. It's always like, but then there's those views.
Right.
Yeah. But then it's your life. You know what I mean? So.
I do. I do know what you mean. So. Yeah, so that's L.A. for you, and the weather's going to be... the rest of the nation's got pretty serious winter, too. So
it's going to be a little stormy, figuratively and literally tomorrow. Hey-o!
Yeah.
Good one.
You know, I'm wondering how Perry got into this government at all. I mean, this guy's like...
Do you want to know what's really funny?
What?
Rick Perry is up for a position, for the very position he forgot when he was asked in the debates.
Really?
Yeah. It's just ironic. Remember, he couldn't come up with the third...
Was it energy
secretary.
Or something?
Yeah, I think it was education. I'm not
education.
Sure. This is embarrassing. I think it was education. But he's up for that position, which is just really funny.
Oh, well, God help us.
Yeah. Are you praying now?
Is that
what we're doing?
I'm praying. I'm praying.
I might do that.
Yeah. So I guess the Super Bowl is coming up soon, and the NFL denies telling Lady Gaga to avoid politics during the halftime show.
Yes.
So that's interesting because she probably will say something, right? So people were accusing them of telling her not to, and they're denying that.
So she can't really win. I thought about this. She can't win either way. Because she's going to be, people are going to be annoyed if she doesn't say something and annoyed if she does. I don't think she will say anything. And I think her performance will kick ass.
Oh, yeah. The performance
is going
to
be really weird and really cool. And I don't think she's going to say anything.
I know. I hope she doesn't. You know, I mean,
I don't think she should.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't, you know, I mean, we're not watching these games. We're watching, you know, whether it's the games, the Oscars,
she's
whatever.
A performer. We're
watching, we're watching this for entertainment. I don't
want
politics.
Right.
I'm watching this to get away from politics.
It's true.
But, you know, some people are such influencers that they feel maybe a responsibility.
Yeah. I don't think she will. I think she's smart enough to read the room or the stadium correctly and not. I would hope so.
Yeah.
Because she can do it on her own time. But I think she's smart. She's very smart.
Yeah.
And she's done well in terms of knowing trends. And I don't, knowing what's where to cross the line and where not to. And I don't think she's going to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Meryl Streep did it, but then she considered who her audience is.
Yeah, it was the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she was talking about the press, so it really made sense. People were like, why did she do that? She was like at a press conference.
Yeah.
It was for the press, but this isn't, I think she should know, and I just think she won't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been following her on Instagram, and they've been working out and rehearsing, and she just really is a strict artist and performer. They've been rehearsing for months.
Really?
So I am so excited.
Yeah, that should be cool, huh?
Yeah.
She's probably the hottest star right now, wouldn't you say?
Well, for a lot of people, yeah. Taylor Swift is also very popular.
That's true, right?
Yeah. Everyone loves her.
Yeah.
Rihanna, Beyonce, those types.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see them as innovators the way Lady Gaga is. You know, she's got her own.
Oh, I would say Beyonce is an innovator.
Beyonce, really?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Lemonade?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't say
she's
I
an
have.
Artist, man. Those That was a beautiful, beautiful, long music video for her whole album. Beyonce, I think, has changed, has done a lot of things.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't follow that, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're not like
she hasn't hit
hashtag
my radar
Beyonce,
yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm totally not into today's music, you know. Like, I'll go on Spotify. They have, top hits. I listen to all of them. I'm like, I don't know any of these people. But not to say that the music's not good, but for the most part, I'll go to the oldies.
It's funny because everyone, usually their favorite music is the music they listened to in high school.
Right.
That's
right.
What I always felt. I've always figured that out. Right. And I stopped at like Britney, Beyonce, Christina. Like that's where I stopped. That's, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know any of them either. I really don't.
Yeah, it's true because it's sort of like the music you listen to is the soundtrack of your life.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. High school is really filled.
Right, and people identify themselves with the music. I remember myself. I loved bands and artists and stuff like that. You know, I really looked up to them. And it's interesting that as kids we do that, you know. All right, well, I think our guest is calling in right now, so we're going to be joined by Holly Parker. Holly, are you on with us?
Yes, I am, Sam. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in. I'm here with Tori.
Hi.
And Holly,
wonderful. Hi, Dori.
It's Tori. Tori with a T.
Tori. Excuse me. Sorry
Finding
about that.
Finding Tori.
Yeah, there you go. Finding Tori. We found her this morning for sure.
Yep.
Holly, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Mm. So hello out there on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hello to everybody, really.
yes.
Yeah, that's very cool. Have you lived there all your life? In Boston?
Actually, no. It's funny that you say that, actually, because I'm actually born and raised in Los Angeles in the L.A. area. So it's wonderful to talk to those of you who are back home. And I hope that you and your listeners are having a beautiful day out there.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you for moving. It seems to be like you're at Harvard now, right? So that would be a good reason to leave L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, Harvard is a real nice.
You know, I have to say, I loved LA. It wasn't easy, but yeah, I came out here for graduate school, and then planted roots and stayed. And, you know, people often ask me, which, you know, which coast do you like better, the East Coast or the West Coast? And I said, you know what? Actually, they each have their own specialness.
Right.
I mean,
right.
they're very different. And it's like comparing apples and oranges. You know, you don't want to choose. So both are wonderful.
Yeah. Mango's my favorite. Between apples and oranges, I like mangoes. Which says a lot about me, I think.
Mangoes are the superior fruit.
Really?
I agree.
Hashtag superior fruit. I agree.
There you go. So after you went for graduate degree, did you decide to stay at Harvard? Is that what you do now? Do you work there now?
I do. Yeah. So I actually, you know, one of the things that that I love about what I get to do as a psychologist is I get to wear a few different hats, which is pretty cool. So I get to teach, and I teach at Harvard, and I just love the teaching process. And I also enjoy teaching clinicians in training, and I'm an associate director of training over at the E.F. Norris Rogers Memorial VA Hospital. And so there I do clinical work, which is a huge passion of mine, and train new clinicians. And then, you know, I love to write too. So I get to dabble in a little bit of everything with the main goal of trying to reach people and, you know, doing what I can to, you know, try to give them information that they can really use based on science to improve their lives. So it's wonderful. I love it.
I wish our guests were smart and did things. Oh, my God.
Your guests are smart.
No, you're amazing. That's unbelievable.
I don't know where you find time to write, but it's incredible. So let's talk a little bit about your book. The book is If We're Together, Why Do I Feel So Alone?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks volumes as to what the book is about. When did this book come about for you, Holly?
You know, this book came about for me because I'm a big believer that, you know, relationships really are the foundation of a life well lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you think about, just think about, and I'd invite your listeners who are tuning in right now to think about this in their own lives. I mean, just imagine the times in your life when you have felt the most on top of the world,
mm-hmm.
When things are the most meaningful, when you're the happiest, and think of the times when, you know, in your life when you've been really down, mm-hmm. and things have been really hard. And in the vast majority of cases, you know, if we think about the human story, in the vast majority of cases, it involves relationships on either side, mm-hmm. you know, for the better or for the worse. And so, you know, relationships, we are relational creatures. We are meant to be in relationships. And when they're going wonderfully, we feel supported. You know, things feel meaningful. You know, we feel like we can take on a lot more.
Mm.
And, you know, and there's just so much more joy and connectedness and the sense of safety. And when things aren't going well, it is immensely painful. And so, you know, for me, where this book came about was really from this desire to want to address the part of what happens when things are missing.
Mm.
What happens when you're in this relationship with someone who you care about, but you know, you feel like you can't reach them and you feel like you're alone. So that's really where this came from.
Wow.
Right,
she definitely
right.
summed it up. When you were like, picture your best moment, immediately you go to love, and then picture your worst, immediately you go to a dumping, like a breakup.
Yes.
Immediately. That's the first thing I did. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
And I remember with my husband, when we said we loved each other the next morning, it was like the sky was bluer. Like, you're right. It was the most intense. Like, I was on acid, although I've never done acid. But I think that's what it would, probably more creepy. Probably more like hallucinogens, but it was like everything was in mega volume. You know what I mean? The colors were bright. It was great. It was great.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, love, when we feel connected and we feel safe, you know, actually it really, I mean, it is so powerful. And if we think about even, you know, long before we form romantic relationships, you know, when we're growing up, I mean, our caregivers are our, you know, primary base,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
right.
and as humans, you know, when we're growing up and we're developing, you know, we have these two you know, two competing needs. You know, we want to go out into the world and explore stuff and fall into mud when we're kids and get dirty and figure stuff out. But we ultimately want to have a safe base to come home to. Mm-hmm. You know, we want people who we know we can rely on. And actually, when we grow up, you know, our romantic partner, and research shows this, romantic partner winds up often taking the place of, you know, as the primary, you know, primary person who we attach to. You know, growing up, it's our caregivers. In adulthood, when we're raising ourselves, we still have that human need for connection and bonding, and the main person we go to is our romantic partner. And when we have that sense of safety and connection, you know, we feel like we can take on the world.
That's where you have daddy issues. No, I'm just kidding. But that's exactly right. I feel like you grow up and you always need a home base. And whether it's the parents or then you move on to the romantic partner, it's such a human being type of, like, it's such a trait of human beings and chimpanzees to really be together in a group, to be safe. Yeah,
yes.
Really.
Absolutely. You know, being in a group, I mean, you know, the way that you said that, Tori, was so spot on. I mean, we are social creatures, and being in the group, I mean, from an evolutionary perspective, social relationships, being in a group, that is survival.
Exactly.
And we are descended from the people who knew how to connect and knew how to play nicely with others. And, you know, if you don't,
you're going to die out.
You die. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, I mean, we have a rich inheritance from our human ancestors of this drive to connect and to love and to want to be loved and to have our relationships feel like we can hang our hat on them.
Yeah.
You know, that we can be ourselves and we can open up, and we want that sense of safety. You know, I mean, I really, you know, you really don't hear. I mean, it's possible, and not to criticize anyone who feels this way. I certainly don't want to do that. But, you know, oftentimes, you know, you don't hear people say, "Oh, I love relationships that go up and down, and I never know what's going to happen, and I have no idea if the person's going to be with me one minute or the next." You know, we really want that sense of safety.
Right. Yeah. I went to my therapist and said, "I feel like I'm just like in love with being in love," and he goes, "That's just what Neanderthals did." and then I paid him like $850 and left
to tell you.
Yeah,
that.
He was like, "That's normal. That's just human behavior." Yeah. I'm like, "All right, thanks so much."
Yeah. So
well,
Holly,
you know what? What you said is you know, is just so perfectly put, because you know, one of the things that's so human is for us to want connection, and the other thing that's very human is for us to doubt how normal,
right? Exactly,
our very human feelings are. You know, and
it's a Jewish
trait. It really is. It's so normal.
Yeah.
So healthy.
Now, when you have an emotionally unavailable partner, I would imagine it's pretty hard to get through to them, right? I mean, how do you even begin with something like this?
Yeah, you know, it's a wonderful question, Sam. I think that one thing that's really important and empowering for us to remember in relationships is that they're really systems. You know, the image that I like to think about is it's like a bike, right, with its gears and its chains. You change one part of the system and you're more likely to change the other. And a lot of times people can feel helpless when they're in a relationship with someone they can't reach, because they're like, "God, you know, I've been begging with them and I've been pleading with them and, you know, and nothing seems to work. I give them ultimatums and nothing works. I tell them how much it hurts and nothing works." And it's very understandable to feel like we're powerless. And yet, if we think about relationships as a system and remember that we are 50% of that system, so, you know, we can't control our relationships, we can't you know, control our partner, and we don't want to because that would just be creepy, but, you know, but ultimately you don't want to go into creepy land,
right.
But ultimately, you know, when we think about the fact that we are half of the system and we can influence our partner and we can influence where the relationship goes. So, you know, if you think of a seesaw, which, don't even get me started on the fact that I think it's a terrible thing that you can no longer find a seesaw.
I know
on a
it.
Playground, right?
It's like Pluto. It's like Pluto going. Same feeling. It's too dangerous for these. Ugh. children. I love to seesaw.
Yes, seesaws are vital for mm-hmm. the playground experience, mm-hmm. in my humble opinion. And I think that, you know, when you imagine a seesaw that, you know, you can either, what you do on your side determines your partner's experience. So you can push up really fast and that sends your partner down. You can push up lightly and that gives your partner a soft landing. And the same thing is true in relationships. We have a lot more influence than we realize. So we have the ability to, if we kind of change our approach, we can increase the likelihood that someone will come closer. And it's not always, you know, it's not necessarily easy. You know, sometimes the pathway to connection is quicker for some couples than others, but it's definitely doable.
What if you are, let's say, because I'm hearing you and I'm like, I've definitely feel all these things in relationships and my girlfriends have. What if you have mm-hmm. an emotionally unavailable person? And like you said, on the seesaw, you've done it quietly. You've done it loudly. You've done it with ultimatums. You literally have done every position to move at knowing you're 50% of the situation. What if nothing works? What do you do? Do you leave? What is your advice?
Yeah, throw them out the window. You know, I mean,
get off the seesaw.
Well, you know what? Actually, okay. So I love this question so much, and there's a two part answer to that. So okay. The first part is oftentimes when people say I've tried everything, sometimes that can be true, mm-hmm. right? But other times it's that they've tried everything they can think of, mm. and the things that you would think should work, you know, sometimes relationships are intuitive and sometimes they're really not. Mm-hmm. And the things that actually, you know, would work, they may not have tried yet or may not have thought of. So, for example, you know, there can be really subtle things that can build connection that oftentimes people don't think about, like when couples are distressed or when one person is shut down, oftentimes what the other person will do is shut down or beg them to open up, mm-hmm. instead actually doing less of that. Rather than shutting down and rather than begging the person to open up, instead actually trying to open up oneself, for example, with self-disclosure. There's mm-hmm. a rich body of science on how when we talk about our own, you know, lives, you know, kind of when we share more personal information about ourselves mm-hmm. with someone, they are more likely to do the same in return.
You know what? Cops do that in interrogations.
Really?
They'll start talking about a personal story, knowing that yes. the person will then start talking about their personal story. They're suspect.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And we can actually do that in relationships to further them along. When couples do that, it forecasts increases in relationship happiness. Another big one is to, you know, even physical contact. You know, having physical contact, you know, holding hands, you know, cuddling with each other, you know, so even if someone isn't willing to be more emotionally forthcoming, being physical, mm-hmm. you know, that releases oxytocin, which mm-hmm. is a feel-good bonding hormone. Mm-hmm. And when people have that feel-good bonding hormone, they're more likely to come in closer.
That's funny. When I would have a temper tantrum, my dad would say, does someone need a hug? Because he wouldn't want me to have to yeah. say anything, but just a hug would feel good.
That's true, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes you just have to change the approach, even if the other person doesn't, and it's probably going to change the dynamics.
It will. You know? The something chemical, like she said, the oxytocin, it's like, yeah. does someone need a hug? And as cheesy as that sounds, like the energy shifts. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It does. It really does. The energy shifts, and there are actually ways. You know, I think one other thing that can really make a difference too, and there's a lot of wonderful science behind this as well, is gratitude. So really thinking, I mean, when we change the dynamic, we can change the dynamic in ways that are more obvious, right? Like, you know, physical contact, for example, having more fun with the person, leaving little notes of affection and commitment when people know that their partner loves them and isn't going anywhere. They're more likely to feel more commitment to. But then there are other ways that we can actually change the dynamic, literally by thinking differently about our partner. So if we think about what we appreciate about our partner, the wonderful qualities in our partner, if we savor moments of connection with our partner, then we are going to think about that person and the relationship in a very different way than if we're coming from a place of what's missing and what's wrong. And when we do that, we will treat that person differently in ways that we don't even realize.
Like very subtle changes that add up to a big breakup.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're talking to Dr. Holly Parker. The book is If We're Together, Why Do I Feel Alone? Oh, So Alone. How to Build Intimacy with an Emotionally Unavailable Partner. Tells the whole story. I think, you know, I mean, I've been in situations like that, and it's so frustrating when, you know, you try to appeal to the person, you try to create some kind of closeness, and it's just not there, you know?
Yeah, are there people that you just can't, like, Holly, would you ever say some people just leave? Like, you have to, at some point, they're just emotionally shut down human beings. Is that something that, or do you think everyone can be helped?
Well, you know what, that's, you know, you both got to the second part, which is, let's say that, you know, you've really tried everything, or you're just at a point in, you know, in your gut when you say, you know what, I really don't want to be doing this anymore.
Right.
This it really isn't worth it for me. You know, I, as someone who is really passionate about relationships, I just can't honestly say that every person who's together with someone right now belongs with that person. Sometimes the best outcome is for a relationship to end. And I think, like, you know, when I talk to people about this, you know, I never make that decision for them, because it's always what I call the 3 a.m. moment. You know, when you're in your bed, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and whatever choices you've made, whether it's to stay with someone or it's to leave, you know, we all have to live with our decisions. But what I do believe in doing is for people to, you know, ask themselves questions so that they can move a little closer to their uncertainty about whether to stay or leave, and they can resolve that for themselves. You know, and I ask a series of questions in the book to actually help people sort through that and begin to work through that. You know, like if they, you know, had, you know, doubts going into, like if they're married, if they had doubts before they got married, you know, is the unavailability something that's always been there?
Right.
Or is it something that's come later? What are their reasons for staying in the relationship? You know, why do they stay? You know, and what is it that they envision would happen if they left? What are they afraid will happen? What do they hope to happen? What are they afraid of if they'll stay? And I think really through people giving themselves the space to ask these questions, because, you know, I mean, if we're ambivalent in a relationship, that's a very painful place to be.
Yeah.
I always tell people it hurts to straddle a picket fence, and it is not fun to do that. And so, you know, we can move away from making that decision, thinking, well, God, if I just avoid this, if I avoid the problem and I avoid my uncertainty, then I'm protecting myself from a painful decision. And in fact, you know, no matter what we do, whether it's to stay or leave, even if it's to avoid a difficult question, we're making a decision.
Right.
And so, you know, when we can begin to at least ask ourselves questions about what our motivation is for staying or leaving, what is the minimal change that we would need to see in our partner in order to stay?
Right. Like a checklist,
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, you got to qualify them.
And it's easier to see it in a checklist. It's much more organized for you to then be like, do I stay or go? It's like, you know, tiny little questions can help.
Yeah. Well, Holly, thank you so much for joining us. How can people find out more? The book, of course, is If We're Together, Why Do I Feel So Alone? When is this coming out? I see it's not it is out. Okay. March 3rd, 2014. Okay, I got confused there. So, yeah, great. So it's a cool book, folks. Go ahead and get this. Can people get a hold of you if they want to? They have social media or anything, website?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. People can reach me on my website at drhollyparker.com, and they can also follow me on Twitter at Dr. Holly Parker, and I'm also on Instagram, too, at Dr. Holly Parker. So I look forward to hearing from you, anybody out there who's listening, and I just want to say, thank you both, Tori and Sam, for having me on your show, and to all your listeners, thank you for tuning in, and I wish you all the very best in your relationships, truly.
Well, thank you. Very gracious,
so polite.
And we appreciate that.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, she's obviously done it more than once.
She has. But that was genuine.
That
I felt
was
sincere.
Genuine.
Thank you.
It seems
I
like
really
you
appreciate that.
You
thank
really
you
love your topic, and it comes across.
It does.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. Well, it's such
all
a
right.
pleasure talking with you both. I'm grateful for your time.
You
thank
too,
you.
And give our regards to everybody at Harvard. We're jealous. So there you go.
Okay. Give my regards to everybody in LA. I'm jealous.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you, Holly. Bye bye.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was very
interesting. So, there's always a chance to fix a relationship, I guess, but sometimes people are just not, they're not available.
But what's interesting is what she said is instead of just saying, yeah, you should go, she gives you like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, right.
She's like, okay, so pretend you did leave. What would be the next steps? And that is a great way of breaking it down for people.
That's true.
Instead of it just being like, should I stay or go? It's what would the house look like? Where would I live? Like little baby steps.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because with me, it's always, there's a little problem, I bail, It's that's not the way to do it.
Do you feel like that's emotionally unavailable? Like bailing?
You think?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I do that too sometimes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, because, you don't want to give him the pleasure of hurting you or whatever, you know?
And I think that's also a human trait.
Yeah.
Self-defense, I definitely think, and you don't want anyone to see your pride hurt.
Right.
Communication.
And you just go, okay, if you don't like me, I'm leaving, and F you, so there
it's
you
a
go,
real gracious way of leaving.
Exactly, right. That's why we have to read books like Holly.
So that's why Dr. Holly Parker exists.
There you go, to help us stay together, man.
Yes, very true.
Yeah. So, there's a new movie, A Dog's Purpose.
Yeah.
Are you going to see it?
No.
Why?
It's about a dog dying over and over again.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, he dies over and over and he comes back as different dogs?
Yeah, and if you saw social media, I saw there's video that was leaked. Did you see this?
That's what the article is about. What was that all about?
It's one of the scenes, and to be honest, you got to be really careful about what you post as animal abuse, to be honest. This is a trainer with a trained dog. It was nervous about getting into a certain area. And of course, people
into the
went
water or something,
there was like a lower area where there's some water, and it was scared. And it whether or not it was, I'm not going to say at all what it was, but this is something that you got to be careful with because you can start reputations that just go wild.
That's true.
You got to
be
really careful here.
And people are so freely.
And
just,
I'm a dog lover.
I
work at a dog rescue. Like I love dogs, but you got to be careful with this. But I think it's caused a lot of people of their particular audience that will no longer see it.
Yeah, and this is a shame because I bet you the people who work with the dogs love dogs.
It's just, it was an unfortunate, and you didn't see in the context, and I understand if people are angry, but you don't see the whole video. You see a very short little thing.
Right.
So, I just...
And it was an unauthorized video.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't want to see it because it's about a dog dying. But the posters are so cute all around. And my friend is one of the publicists for it. And the publicists got to put their own dogs up in the billboards.
Oh.
So like one of her dogs is on the billboard right outside my house.
How cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have nice looking dogs in that movie. I saw the preview.
Yeah.
Looks very nice. But yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. And Dennis...
So they're trying to probably show that even if he dies, he's got a purpose.
Yeah, he comes back. It's always like has... Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't handle it.
I know. Hollywood likes movies like that.
I'm going to lose...
They do it about people, too.
Marley and Me, my God, I'm going crazy when I'm seeing the ending. I'm like, good Lord.
How does that one end?
How do you think it ends?
Yeah, it
Marley
does.
And no longer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like dog movies, but yeah, it seems a little depressing.
Yeah, although I love dogs.
Yeah.
Dog lovers will probably go see it.
Yeah.
Which I
That's
am.
True, yeah. In other news, Paul McCartney is suing to get the Beatles songs back from Sony. So, I guess I remember when Michael Jackson bought all the rights, right?
Yeah, he
and then
won the
he
auction.
And Sony started a joint venture. They bought all the rights. And then when he died, I guess the estate sold 50% of its stake for $750 million.
Wow.
But yeah, so apparently Jackson outbid McCartney to clinch.
Oh yeah,
the deal.
He won the auction
back in '95.
Oh, yeah. And that was the height of Michael Jackson. He couldn't bid him richer.
Yeah,
so he was like ba bang, ba bang, ba bang. It must have been really hard to be Paul McCartney and lose your
is,
art
you
and
know?
Creation yeah. to another artist who you did a song with.
Right. It sucks, man, you know, because...
They were friends.
I mean, they wrote, like, classics, you know? I mean, you want to be... You want to get the credit for it.
It's very strange.
But. Yeah. But that's how things work in business.
But good
know?
For him to be coming back strong.
Yeah,
Sir
but
Paul
I
McCartney.
Don't think he's going to win, you know? I think he's fighting in a contract that's already been established. So to suddenly say, you know, blah, 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 termination notices...
There's got to be some issue they can raise that's maybe... unjust for some reason. He's yeah. got to have some, the lawyers just have to have some mens rea for them to go through it.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much money Paul McCartney has. I mean, you know.
It's just raining dollars
raining
at his
dollars,
house.
Right?
Yeah. I but, mean, you know, God. But a lot of it was taken when Jackson took a lot of the rights. I mean,
right.
that's how Michael Jackson made a lot of money having those rights.
Right? Yeah, I mean, he bought it for $40 million. Yeah. And his family sold 50% for $750.
Yeah, that was a shrewd business move that I don't agree with, but at least yeah. he did make money off
I
it.
Mean, if I had the money, I would buy the Beatles catalog, you know?
Yeah, but from underneath Paul McCartney to outbid yeah. him on his own music when you guys collaborated together?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Well, Michael. Yeah, I don't know. So is that what happened then? He outbidded... Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
I bet him. Okay. Wow.
In the auction for the right.
Wow, I didn't know Paul McCartney was trying to get it
at
the time. Wow. Yeah. It would have been cool if John Lennon was still alive, huh?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
I think it would have been real cool.
Yeah, he was like really a...
He was a peace advocate.
Eccentric, yeah.
Yeah, and he was someone that you could look to as a role model for the peace movement. They don't really have one. Martin Luther King is another one. We don't really have... We have Michael Moore, I guess, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, like, who's our guy? But, yeah, they were the leaders, and there were people you could look up to. And when something happened, you would go to them to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
And we don't really have... I mean, Elizabeth Warren's coming through as a leader, but I'm just saying, and Bernie Sanders. But there's no, like, guy like that, like John Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah, and he wasn't really into politics. I mean, he was trying to get it through music.
Yeah,
and
but he was very, very active in the peace process,
yeah.
you know, later in life. And he basically was the, you know, the ambassador, if you will.
Yeah.
And we don't really have that anymore.
Right. So. He could have had any woman he wanted and he marries Yoko Ono, you know.
Hey, they had true love, baby.
I know, they really did, you know. But my God, man, it's like a lot of people didn't understand that when he did, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people are short-sighted.
Yeah, she sings like shit too.
Well, she
did you ever hear her music?
Yeah, she. But it doesn't matter. He found true love, baby. I don't care as long as it's true love.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it just shows you. You never know. You know, there's no like.
They were truly in love with each other.
Yeah, there's no rules. You know,
no.
There's no stereotypes to those things.
Yeah,
and people don't always look on the outside. They connect with people. And, yeah, I mean, look at Prince Charles. He had Princess Di, and he connected with Camilla,
yeah.
you know?
Which was very confusing, I
yeah.
think, for everyone involved.
I know, but that's the thing, you know. It's not, people fall in love for different reasons.
That's exactly
you know?
Right. That's
yeah.
exactly right. And for people who said, you know, Yoko Ono, you know, the Beatles broke up because of her, I am not going to go into specifics because people are very fanatical about this. I will just say that they truly did love each other. And in anything I've read about autobiography or documentaries, John Lennon always has loved Yoko Ono. So you can't
yeah.
take away true love from someone.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that was his taste. You
that's
know?
Right.
What can I say? Yeah. So I watched another episode of Westworld last
and?
Night. It's gotten a little better.
Okay.
They showed a black guy with a big schlong.
I know that episode.
Right?
Yes, I know exactly.
I mean, what the hell?
Hey, it's got to be equal opportunity, honey.
It does.
It's 2016.
But I think it was an appendage they added to him, you know? I can't imagine them casting a guy with a big dick,
can.
You know, if it's not a porn movie.
It's got to be a crazy casting.
Yeah.
What do you do? Because the guy just stood there, right? They just
right,
pan down.
Right.
He's a stat like a robot.
Yeah, and it's so stereotypical, a black guy, you know, with a huge
hey,
cock.
It's always a hot blonde chick with fake boobs. Stereotypes are everywhere for us. Why can't we get that? Westworld, it speeds up.
Yeah.
It warms up. I think you're going to like it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, people are killing each other. And,
you're like, I'm liking it more. It's an
original
story.
But Ed Harris, his character is like, you just want to kill him, huh? He's like
Man
such
in Black.
Man in Black. Now I really want to watch the movie with Yul Brynner.
I kind of do too. Yeah,
to
I agree.
See the original. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting, unique concept of sort of Disney World on steroids.
Right.
Of a Western world that people can go to. And I always question, if it were real, would you pay to go to it?
Yeah, I would.
I 100% would, right?
Yeah, it's like Fantasy Island, if you remember the movie.
Yeah.
You know, they set it up for you, and you live this fantasy.
I don't understand why people don't. That's like people who don't like Disneyland. Like, my mother does not like Disneyland.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Or Disney World. To me, I'm like, do you like air and oxygen? Because I do. And love and music. Happiest place on earth.
Yeah. Well, maybe she doesn't like the lines or the
She literally is in a wheelchair when we go, and so she gets front of the line. This is a woman who gets in front of everyone at Disneyland and doesn't like it.
Still doesn't like it.
That hurts my
soul.
No
appreciation.
Oh my
god.
Yeah. Waiting in Space Mountain 3 hours.
I know.
Ugh.
So you probably heard of this one, of this teen girl who was stolen as a baby.
I'm looking at it here, 18 years ago.
Yeah, 18 years ago. She's 18. She was kidnapped as a baby by this woman in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And she raised her.
Yeah.
And everything was fine until they finally discovered the mother, and the girl's 18. But apparently she called that woman her mother.
Yeah, that's very confusing.
And she still loves her.
Alexis Manigo was abducted as a newborn from a Florida hospital
yeah.
in 1998. And the woman who she thinks of as mom is charged with the abduction.
Yeah.
So it's, how confusing would that be?
Right. And you know, I mean, and to her, that's her mom. You know, so to see her in jail now, it's devastating.
And to be thrust into the mom that you don't know, but you have to go with that mom.
Right,
very weird.
But probably not, because she's 18 now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have to go to the mom.
No, she doesn't have to. But, you know, her other mother's now unavailable. I mean,
right.
It's crazy.
And it goes to, you know, I mean, it brings up an important question, you know. I mean, what is a mother, you know? I mean, is it the one that gave you birth and you don't know? Or is it the woman that didn't and you know her very well?
Yeah, but truth is, that woman just stole a child. So
she
deserves to be in jail.
No, she does. Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is that still you think of the kid and you go, they need a mother, and that's all they know.
It's very, and to be 18, right on the precipice of a womanhood, that's very hard. Isn't that a crazy story?
It is a very crazy story, you know? And she's defending the woman, too. And,
yeah.
And that, so.
And you think about all of the, you know, the Stockholm Syndrome, which is when you become not in love, but you sort of become enmeshed with your...
you sympathize with them.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is that here she didn't know she was a captive.
Exactly. So that's even more confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
We should do a story on this.
Lifetime
movie on this.
I know. They probably will.
Oh, 100% it's in the works.
What a story. 100%
it's in the works.
And imagine the family that when the baby was stolen.
Right, but then imagine, like, here they show the mom and her getting hugged. Imagine having her back, but not really. Like, talk about emotionally unavailable.
Yeah,
you know
right?
what I mean? She gets her daughter back after all those years, but she can't. It's hard to connect.
Yeah,
it's
very hard. How would you connect with someone like that? They're strangers to you.
Oof.
Yeah.
Grateful.
Yeah. So, so people, babies get stolen and everything.
Snatched out of hospitals everywhere.
And finally, this outrageous story of a drug maker in Ireland who has made a drug to treat infants, took it from $40 a vial to $34,000.
I hate people
a vial.
Like this.
How does that happen?
I'm not supposed to hate people. My grandfather always said, don't hate people. But, you know, like Martin Shkreli, the guy who did the AIDS drug to like a huge amount, just like this. I can't hate anything more.
Yeah.
That is pure greed.
Because, it's like really taking advantage of people that are needy, you know?
It's killing people. It is killing people, and it is the epitome of greed.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do that unless you just want more money.
Yeah. So the company is called Mellencrot, and it's paying $100 million fine and allow a competitor to produce a similar medication. So...
And that's why you have monopoly laws, because you can't allow someone to take out all the competition. But man, that is just the height of greed. Yeah. When you take medicine away from kids or people or anyone and you raise it to an outrageous...
Yeah, outrageous. I mean, who can afford something like
that? It's disgusting.
Cloud, you know?
Disgusting.
So it has nothing to do with their costs or anything like that. It's just supply and demand and they're taking advantage of
people. Well, he was supposed to speak at a college, Martin Skrelly. I hope I'm saying that last name right. It's not Skrillex, you know what I mean?
Well, but we know who you're
talking
about.
Yeah, okay, good. That really awful guy. And he, protesters stopped him from going on and they canceled it and he was thrown poop at.
Oh.
Poop was thrown in his face.
All right, everybody. Tori, thank you. Yeah.
Feces.
Feces and everything. Thank you, Dr. Holly Parker, for calling in. Everybody, go out, get the book, If We're Together, Why Do I Feel So Alone?
She sounds great. She's very helpful.
Very helpful. She knows what she's talking about, and she's at Harvard. So little respect, people.
Please.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.